Kale and Company weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Round number one. By the way, I did the news yesterday in your absence, Dawn.
He did.
I said it was dark, rainy, cold, and there were shootings.
that's exactly what he said.
That's accurate in the city of Philadelphia.
Well, there we go.
The world, right?
Take it away.
So let's take it away. And we have Kale and Company News Live this Tuesday morning on a very warm morning, 52 degrees, headed up to 61. We are sponsored this morning in Kale and Company News Live by the Special Olympics. So in the news this morning, let's get to it. We'll talk about Luigi Mangione, the accused killer of United Healthcare. The CEO, Brian Thompson, is now, the word is, almost certain to waive extradition from Pennsylvania, where he was arrested, obviously, more than a week ago. He could waive extradition to New York as early as first thing this morning. So we will watch for that. That's according to Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg. He's in the news a lot, too, with the other Trump case. Mangione remains in custody, obviously, at the Pennsylvania State Prison. And as we've talked about ad nauseum, caught at that McDonald's in Altoona, Pennsylvania. That was December 9th. After nearly a week on the run, accused of gunning down Thompson outside that Midtown Manhattan hotel, December 4th, as the CEO headed to an investors conference. I'll get to the Wisconsin story, but, well, I'll get to it now. Details emerging about the course of the Madison, Wisconsin school shooting, about the latest on these three people killed, among them the female shooter with a self-inflicted wound, and at least six others injured, and at least two of them critically injured. They're identifying her as Natalie Rupnow, who went by Samantha, used a handgun to kill a teacher, a fellow student, then turned the gun on herself. And so this is still under investigation. I know we're getting new information on this as well, but they did have the briefing. I think there was another one yesterday afternoon, another one last night. So as we learn more, we'll share it with you. I will point out to you that at one point, law enforcement at the One News conference was asked about her gender identity.
Mm-hmm.
And he did say, I don't know whether the shooter was transgender or not. They're not saying that.
I think they also said it's irrelevant as to whether or not the person identified as that.
It's not, though.
To which I would say it's absolutely not. The amount of school shootings from transgender people in the last 8 years.
What was her biological name?
It was Natalie.
Yeah. But she identified as Sam.
Sam?
Samantha. So moving forward, I'm going to identify as Chuck. It's Chuck and Co.
Chuck.
It's not my middle name. I just prefer to be called Chuck.
Wake up with Chuck. Chuck.
Right.
Chuck.
This is Chuck News.
Well, that was her, like, her little Binky's name when she was three. Who knows why she goes by that, but we really do need to examine mental health in this country. There's a lot of layers to this story that we can talk about, but mental health might be right at the top.
Yes. Amen. We do have the breaking news story that on Russia, and I don't know if you saw this, that a bomb has killed the head of Russia's nuclear defense force and his assistant. This happened in Moscow. They're blaming the Ukrainians. So it was planted close to a home or an apartment block in Moscow, killing the head of Russia's nuclear, biological, and chemical defense forces, Lieutenant General Igor Krylov.
Igor. He sounds evil, doesn't he?
Igor Krylov.
That sounds like a movie villain.
His assistant also died in the blast, and that was triggered by a remote device, which was placed in a scooter.
No, it wasn't a pager, was it?
Nope. Okay. Well, I don't think that story. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
In the Middle East.
Yeah, we're getting advanced now with how we wipe people out.
Oh, my God. And that brings us to our own Russian case. This is Svetlana Dali, the alleged Delta Airlines stowaway, arrested for the second time this month in Philadelphia.
She sounds hot. What's her name?
Svetlana Dali.
Yeah. Ah.
Guilty.
Can you give me that name in the Melania voice, Dawn?
This is, I am innocent. The bracelet fell off of me.
Yeah.
I did not cut it off.
Yes. Screws fall out, Bender.
Yep. Bryn Mawr Builders on the YouTube chat says everyone seems almost eager for the shooter to be trans. I mean, that's just not true.
No.
That's just not true.
I'm eager for all these people just to be locked up in general because they're all insane, regardless of how they identify.
Well, we talk about the growing mental health crisis as far as that one goes. The truth is that this person obviously was a murder-suicide.
Mm-hmm.
How many times do I not even cover murder-suicides when it happens in somebody's
home?
We've
got the picture.
This is mental health.
My bigger question, and I'm going to ask this, is what kind of meds was this child on?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. What doctor prescribed this child meds? Because, you know...
Pills. They solve all your problems.
I have anxiety, and I have depression, and I have this... Shut up. Be a 17-year-old and... Ugh. God.
You bring up the only reason that it would be relevant that there was any gender treatment, because that's a debate right now, that if somebody's on puberty blockers or these kind of hormones, and then they're also on something for mental health, like a psychological type medication, then you have an interaction.
What's
the only reason that would be relevant.
What if any cocktail was this child on?
Right.
That's my bigger question.
Mm-hmm.
Not whether they were trans or not.
That's right.
One might have something to do with the other. That's all I'm saying.
And that's why my cocktail of choice is usually at a bar out of a bottle.
Yeah.
Where was I? Svetlana.
Yeah.
She's back in custody again. She's the stowaway, remember, and she was headed for Canada, and so now she's caught again and in custody. That is Svetlana.
We got to put her together with Greta Thunberg.
Thunberg. And by the way, crowds returning to Dilworth Park and Center City following, I know that you guys obviously talked about the shooting involving three teens and the arrest, Mayor Sherelle Parker holding the news conference yesterday talking about that. So we have the update is a 14-year-old victim was shot in the face, remains in critical condition this morning. Two other victims, ages 14 and 15, stable condition. 14-year-old arrested shortly after the shooting, charged with aggravated assault and other charges. And police now think one of the police do not think that teen was the shooter, the 14-year-old.
Okay.
Who may have initially been identified. That I know you guys discussed this yesterday. That I know it's weekend news, but I thought I'd update you on that
Thank
one
you.
As well. All right, we got to get to the big take, but first our sponsor, Special Olympics PA 2025 Philadelphia Polar Plunge, the coolest event in the Philadelphia region. So chill at Citizens Bank Park February 1st. Make a splash, support Special Olympics Pennsylvania athletes at the very same time. Just visit phillyplunge.org to learn more. Sign up today. Won't feel like a Philly plunge today because we have 61 degrees on tap, mild weather, and so get out and enjoy it.
Killing yeah, 61 degrees. Let's Woo. Go. Let's stay right there till April. All right. Thank you very much, Dawn. 6:15 on this Tuesday morning. Let's get to another big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
And it is brought to you by Joseph Anthony Retreat, Spa, and Salon. The Big Take, Caitlin Clark, critics and comments. You know, the WNBA, the media, and now even Caitlin Clark have taken a generational phenomenon, record-setting attendance, record-setting ratings, record-setting revenue, and they've turned it into a completely avoidable yet complete disaster. All because of, you guessed it, identity politics. Pro sports is the ultimate merit-based profession. It doesn't matter what your race is or what your sexual orientation is. Yet, social and political agendas have found a way to permeate its way into a league and a sport that has never turned a profit in its existence, just as they have found their Michael Jordan or Tom Brady. And that's a shame. It's a shame for women who want their sport to reach new heights, but will likely now torpedo itself by all parties involved. And it all originated with the league's approach to Caitlin Clark's rookie season, a year in which she was, by many pundits, unfairly targeted physically in games because she is a straight white female in a league predominantly represented by black females, many of which are bisexual or lesbian. Clark took many hard fouls that bordered on illegal by the rules and sometimes reminded you downright of assault like it was the 1980s in the NBA when they were very physical. The hard hits came from veterans who didn't like the coverage she garnered, as well as rookie sensation Angel Reese, who has been her rival since college. But it took a plot twist last week when Time Magazine named her the Athlete of the Year. And now it would appear that Caitlin Clark is triggering and hated by the left and triggering and hated by the right, which might be more of an impressive feat when you think about it than what she's accomplished on a basketball court. The quotes that caused this circus are as follows. Clark said upon winning the honor, quote, I want to say I've earned every single thing, but as a white person, there is privilege. A lot of those players in the league that have been really good have been black players. This league has kind of been built on them. I have to continue to try to change that. The more we can elevate black women, that's going to be a beautiful thing, end quote. I don't have an issue with anything other than the white privilege part. Caitlin Clark earned all of the media coverage and endorsements. She's the Pistol Pete of women's basketball. Not only does she bring in women to watch the game, but she brings in men to watch and appreciate her unique generational skill set. And yes, there have been plenty of great black women's basketball players. I watched them in my teens. Cynthia Cooper, Cheryl Swoops, Dawn Staley. Plenty of white women as well. Sue Bird, Diana Taurasi, and Rebecca Lobo. But none of them, I repeat, none of them have moved the needle like Clark. She's Tiger Woods to golf. She's Serena Williams to tennis. But Clark has also irked the right by doubling down on white privilege. Here she was with Maria Taylor of NBC Sports on winning the award, her critics, and her comments that have caused quite the uproar. Listen and watch this.
Yeah, you know, your announcement for Athlete of the Year, like, tremendous, incredible positive feedback. That's what we've seen across the board. There's always going to be some negativity. And I feel like you have had to answer more questions than anybody about the intersectionality of race and gender and sexuality in sport because of just who you are and you represent the growth of this thing. Mm-hmm. And even today, earlier today, Megyn Kelly, she was saying that you were apologizing for your white privilege and the fact that you wanted to uplift black female athletes and make sure that they were getting the shine, kind of like your pioneers were getting the shine that they deserved. And I just want to know how you feel or how you respond to some of those criticisms when you have to deal with something that it's really not your problem. Like, I feel like it's them looking in a mirror a little bit,
yeah.
But it still comes down on your shoulders.
I feel like I always have had really good perspective on everything that's kind of happened in my life, whether that's been good, whether that's been bad. And then obviously coming to the WNBA, like I've said, I feel like I've earned every single thing that's happened to me over the course of my career. But also, I grew up a fan of this league from a very young age. Like, my favorite player was Maya Moore. Like, I know what this league was about. And like I said, like, it's only been around 25 plus years. So I know there's been so many amazing black women that have been in this league, and continuing to uplift them, I think, is very important. And that's something I'm very aware of. And like I said, like, I try to just be real and authentic and, you know, share my truth. And I think that's very easy for me. Like, I'm very comfortable in my own skin. And that's kind of been how it is my entire life.
Yes.
25 plus years, and they've never turned a profit, and they have been subsidized by the NBA. But the truth is, the market will dictate your salary, your ratings, and your revenue. You either create a demand for your services based on some sort of allure that you have, or you don't. And Clark shouldn't apologize, and woke media shouldn't pretend otherwise. And speaking of the left, it took all of 3 days for the nut jobs to come out and turn their back on Caitlin Clark after she proclaimed white privilege. And according to some, she bent the knee. We gave you this yesterday in a brief form on the cut sheet. But here's Washington Mystics WNBA owner Sheila Johnson saying the entire league should have won the Time Magazine award, not just Caitlin Clark. Listen and watch this.
Why couldn't they have put the whole WNBA on that cover and said the WNBA is the league of the year because of all the talent that we have? Because when you just keep singling out one player, it creates hard feelings. And so now you're starting to hear stories of racism within the WNBA. And I don't want to hear that. We have got to operate and become stronger as a league and respect everybody that's playing and their talents.
Put the entire league on the magazine? That is complete insanity. I guess we can file that, though, under the mantra of inclusion. But let's show some facts, because facts matter. In fact, that's all that matters. Here is CNN's Harry Enten, who, when he isn't tracking polling for elections, is willing to take a deep dive into all sorts of data. Let's examine the Caitlin Clark effect on the product. Listen and watch this.
And we're talking about a historic season for the WNBA and their biggest star, Caitlin Clark.
Let's talk about general interest in the game first, because this just gives you an idea of how much the WNBA has exploded. We're talking Google searches this season compared to prior seasons since the WNBA draft back in April. Compare it to last year. Look at Google searches, up over 300%. Compare it to 5 seasons ago. My goodness gracious. Google searches up 861%. Compared to 10 years ago, we're talking about through the roof, up nearly 1,400% Google searches this season compared to 2014. Of course, Google searches are one thing. The WNBA wants to make money, right? It's a business. Well, they're making a lot more money than they used to, because let's take a look at merchandise sales and attendance as well. This season compared to last season. Attendance up 48%. Even more impressive than attendance, how about merchandise? Stuff like jersey sales, of course. Rookie sensations like Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, number one and number two in jersey sales this particular year. We're looking at merchandise sales overall up 600%. My goodness gracious. Of course, if you're like me, maybe you're not always donning a WNBA jersey. Maybe you don't have the time to go see a game in person, so you're watching it on television. Well, there are a lot more folks watching it on television this season compared to prior seasons. So let's take a look at those WNBA ratings. We're talking about the highest this century. My goodness gracious. In nationally televised games, overall, we're talking 657,000 folks tuning in on average. A big component of that is Caitlin Clark. She has star power, drawing power. Look at how many folks tuned into Caitlin Clark's Indiana Fever on average. We're talking about 1.2 million. That is 3 times as many folks who tuned in to non-Caitlin Clark games. So Caitlin Clark, a major component of why the WNBA has taken off. Perhaps the best way to see that is to go back to what I was talking about at the beginning. Take a look at Caitlin Clark and compare her to one of baseball's biggest stars, Shohei Ohtani. So let's take...
We got three oh my goodness graciouses from Harry Anton there. That is the Caitlin Clark effect in a nutshell. And females are fighting about this over on social media. And all sorts of arguments have broken out. From The Atlantic's Jemele Hill to OutKick's Riley Gaines. And locally, Dawn's friend, Kathy Barnett, who jumped into the fray. Kathy Barnett, who you hear on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, tweeted the following. The real problem here is that we must stop deifying these people. Many white conservatives poured all of their frustration about Democrats' DEI onto Caitlin. She spoke for them. Her injuries were their injuries. When she was physically and aggressively pushed by black athletes, they too were being pushed down. Now this, and they're all losing their mind. Her lips are their lips, and her lips are now saying something they no longer agree with. I get it. I understand the frustration. But the message should have always have been, shut up and dribble, back then and now. Stop looking for role models. You're an adult. Be your own role model. I hope this helps for the next person you deify. And I agree with Kathy, stick to sports. But it's also worth noting that conservatives may have misread the situation. Maybe Caitlin Clark isn't conservative at all. Maybe she's not political at all. Just because the left comes after you, it doesn't make you a Republican. They come after Bill Maher. They come after liberals. They come after anybody that doesn't see it through the progressive prism that they do. And that would include CNN's Scott Jennings, who had to face the fire over this controversy that's been brewing for almost a week now. Here was what he had to say on CNN. Listen and watch this.
Why is she being bullied?
Why is that wrong?
Why is she being bullied for acknowledging something that's smart, truth, and factual?
Well, a couple things. Number one, whether you're an athlete or anyone else, if I hear you use the phrase my truth, I immediately then discount everything else you say, because there isn't my truth or your truth. There's just the truth. And when you start using phrases like that, it tells me that
that's not true.
Your brain has been captured by something that I don't really respect.
Or that's not true.
Number two.
That's not true.
Number two, the attention the league got this year was amazing, and it was all because of her. She is an amazing player. The arenas were full when she played in them. The TV ratings were up when she was on television. That's undeniable. But, you know, the league still lost like $40 million this
year.
And it's never made money. And to me, when you're talking about having respecting people who built something, what did they build? A league that loses money every year? She has the capacity.
What do you mean, what
possibly,
did they build? What do you mean, what did they build?
They've been losing business. They've built nothing. Notice the language. All Scott did was provide facts. and it's immediately Caitlin is being bullied. She's an adult making tons of money in pro sports. She's not going to be treated any differently than a male professional athlete, and nor should she. But I will say this. She didn't sign up for this. Maybe, just maybe, she just wants to play ball. And if elections are any precursor or indicator, those who flock to the TV for the WNBA with Caitlin Clark seeking entertainment will flee as quickly as they came if the league and its partners don't ditch the out-of-touch commentary and stick to playing hoops. Just ask about being out of touch. Kamala Harris and the Democrat Party, they can identify with that, and they can speak firsthand on that. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon, the secret to finishing your holiday shopping with three locations, Glen Mills, Springfield, and Center City at the Lowe's Hotel. Visit in person or online at josephanthony.com, where gift cards are available. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in on social media at 1210WPHT. And, of course, let it rip in the YouTube chat. Just go to youtube.com/at1210WPHT. And while you're there, hit the like and subscribe buttons. We'll get some thoughts from Dawn on the other side with Caitlin Clark, especially after Kathy Barnett jumped into the conversation. And then we'll dive deep into the school shooting in Wisconsin as we continue this morning. It's Kale and Company live on a Tuesday on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook, has all your favorite bets from who will win the game to how many points a player will score. Maybe you had the Sixers last night in their 121-108 win over the Charlotte Hornets. You could have had Paul George, who scored his Sixers best at 33 points, or Tyrese Maxey at 40 points. You can get in on the action while the game is happening. It's really a cool feature. And it doesn't matter if you tap into FanDuel before the game starts or after it's already tipped off. You can pick up a W whenever. And now is the perfect time to get in on the action, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if your first bet wins. Just go to FanDuel.com/Greg. FanDuel.com/Greg. To score $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NBA and 1210 WPHT. 21 and over, President PA. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
I was watching Jemele Hill and Riley Gaines fight on Twitter over the Caitlin Clark stuff with the Time Athlete of the Year. And then she comes out, she talks about white privilege. She doubles down in her interview with Maria Taylor. And I really thought that Kathy had a great point. Although I would say, I would urge conservatives or Republicans or anybody that's not left-leaning, that just because you assume somebody might be on your side of the aisle politically, never make that assumption. I mean, just because Caitlin Clark was being attacked by the left doesn't mean that she's on the right. I don't know what her politics are. I don't know if she's political at all. But this thing has gotten really ugly really quick, and it's sad because she's kind of like the Tiger Woods or Serena Williams of the sport. And when somebody comes along that's a generational talent that can take a business that hasn't turned a profit in almost three decades and make it viable, you hate to see the whole thing kind of go up in smoke.
Yeah, and I just wonder if Caitlin Clark were in the black and brown community and the tables were turned and the way that some of her teammates treat her, would they make it racial?
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
If the league was predominantly white and along came a black generational. And remember, this is the same thing that happened with Tiger Woods. Professional golf, largely a white sport, right? Never really moved. And I know you have like Jack Nicklaus and Arnie Palmer and stuff like that. Tiger Woods comes along and he's the Michael Jordan of the sport. And since Tiger Woods has been injured and left the sport and left his prime, white guys don't move the needle. Jordan Spieth, Rory McIlroy, Dustin Johnson went to the same college Stocker went to, Coastal Carolina. These guys are all great players. They don't generate ratings, though. Not like Caitlin Clark, not like Tiger Woods does.
Not like Greg Stocker does.
Not like Greg Stocker does.
I think it's cute that she calls herself, in honor of Pistol Pete Maravich, she nicknamed herself Ponytail.
Mm-hmm.
Ponytail Pete.
Ponytail
which is
Pete.
Cute. But she's incredible. I don't care what her politics. I think she's wise to keep her politics private. She does seem like she skews a little more conservative, which most of the country does. Look at the last election.
I could see her definitely being center of right. Yeah. But I think she triggered a lot of conservatives by saying that there is white privilege. And now you're going to see people that were watching her that didn't want to be dealt with when it comes to politics and social messaging that might check out. Like, that's the thing. And I think that's what Kathy was talking about, Kathy Barnett, you know, in her tweet saying, just stick to sports. Like, can we just enjoy something? Like, you know, sports is one of the few things that unites Americans across the board, right? We've talked about this countless times where you go to an Eagles game, you just don't want to be sitting next to a Cowboy fan, right? Other than that, you don't care one way or the other. Nobody's talking politics in the upper deck, you know, at the 700 level at the old Vet. We're all just there together as Eagle fans rooting against Dallas. So
I will say with her a couple of things. I mean, one is, and I heard Trump say this, I think, over the weekend. He said that initially in 2016 when he won, everybody was trying to undermine him and publicly, you know, critical. And now they're all basically kissing the ring. I'm paraphrasing, but he said something to that effect. There is a process by which you get vetted.
True.
And so for Caitlin Clark, I hope she comes to that point where, you know, some of these players, they don't, she's the new girl in town.
Mm-hmm.
She's much better than everybody else.
Yep.
It hurts probably that she's a, like, she's a white girl. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ouch. You know, if you're so. Well,
and it's any walk of life, though, in a profession, right? Like when no matter where you are, you come in and here comes the new shiny object. They're getting all the accolades, all the attention.
Mm-hmm.
You see it in every industry. I get it. Jealousy is a natural component.
Well, but a lot of times people are jealous about it because they think that person isn't as good or that they should have that position, whatever's going on.
Mm-hmm.
In this one, her players have to recognize her, even her own teammates. They have to recognize she's something special.
And she's about to make you a bunch of money.
And she, yeah. So at some point, I think they've vetted her enough already because you don't want to, as, you know, women players, you don't want to look like a bunch of divas. Just do your thing, play, get out there, play your heart out. Maybe you'll get some crowds.
It's amazing. Just all the stuff going on in female sports between the Caitlin Clark stuff to Title IX on down the list. It's wild.
There's a bright future for it. Because I'm a Mimi, so Emmeline, who's your daughter's ages, she is, they have their NFL flag football playoffs.
Oh, yeah?
In Concha. Had I known it was in Concha, I would have told you and Kristen because you could have brought the girls by because maybe, I don't know if both the twins, but they're very different.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe they would be interested.
Oh, Olivia, it's, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So I just think that the NFL is brilliant to bring this flag football because it involves such speed and agility. It was fun, great camaraderie with the girls out there.
And it's safe, and you don't get concussions and rattle your brain unless you bang in somebody's face without a helmet on. Then that sucks. 855-839-1210. Speaking of females, let's get to the Madison school shooter, Natalie Samantha Rupnow. I'm not sure how you say her last name. 17. Do we have the? See, I've got multiple stories here. I see killed three. Is that the correct number? First it was one, then it was two, then I saw seven. Now it's three.
Well, we have some in very critical condition.
Okay.
I guess.
All right.
So that's a piece of it.
Yeah.
And then there was confusion because she then turned. It was a murder suicide.
Yes. So I've got the Daily Mail and the Sun in front of me. She killed multiple people, including a student, a teacher, and then herself at the Abundant Life Christian School in Madison, Wisconsin, shortly before 11 a.m. yesterday. Then her family home was raided by SWAT teams following the school shooting, with investigators speaking to the father, who is said to be cooperating. Rupnow's alleged manifesto has been circulating on social media. Sean, we're going to pull up the clip in a moment. I want to read that. So when I call for that, let's just leave that up and we'll go through. We'll start with the picture and then we'll go to the posting that I will read. She died from a self-inflicted gun wound on the way to the hospital after the school shooting, after opening fire in a mixed grade study hall in front of terrified students. The teenage school shooter's neighborhood then was swarmed by cops, including stun grenades that were thrown into the property, causing flashbangs to ring out across the street. Local residents recalled that at least 10 police cars and a SWAT truck arrived at the... Now, see, this says 15, or is she 17?
They're saying 15 now. They were saying 17 at one point.
Yeah, I've seen multiple. Too, yeah. Okay. And this is about, her home was about 8 miles from the school. Sean, let's throw up this, if you could, the picture of the alleged, now deceased, shooter. So there's a selfie. It's easy to be a Monday morning quarterback after the fact. Just if I were to see that picture before this, I would think that maybe that person is a little off their rocker. Seems like a little out of their mind. I don't know. She doesn't look like a happy child. I try not to read too much into pictures, but
yeah, I mean,
it's hard to judge a book by its cover.
17-year-old, you know, teenage angst, like it's a real thing.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't judge too much by the picture, but yeah, the words.
Yeah. Let's go to the words if we could. For those not on YouTube, I will read this. This was a writing that she wrote. If you want to call it a manifesto, knock yourself out. Women are the only hope for this wretched world. But even women have been brainwashed by moids.
That's what my wife and I were trying to figure
what's
out. What's
a moid?
Yeah.
Yeah. What in the
is it?
World?
Some weird language that we don't understand.
In the words of Senator Kennedy,
help me understand this.
Help me understand this. What's a moid? So women have been brainwashed
moderate
by moids.
Moderate intellectual disability.
Moderate intellectual disability. Okay. For too long.
Thanks,
they've internalized.
Thank you for speaking nutcase, Don. Allegedly.
Yeah, I only speak English.
Yeah.
They've internalized the patriarchy and turned on each other, always begging for male approval and validation. It's disgusting. I realize the truth. Men are irredeemable. Radfem Hitler is effing vindicated now. They can't be reformed or redeemed.
Wait, hang on. What is Radfem Hitler?
I don't know. Is that Adolf's cousin? who's Radfem?
That's funny.
Don, can you translate? Radfem means?
It's the trans cousin of of Adolf Hitler.
Yes.
Radfem.
He was the good Hitler. He lived to be 90. They are a effing scourge upon the earth.
Scourge.
The only solution is
Scourge.
The only solution is to total exterminate them and every foid who worships these effing parasites.
What's a foid, Don?
That's the opposite of moid. So it's a female. Moids and foids, male, female.
Moderate. Moderate was the first one. So
okay.
I only know when you ask me what's a foid, I think of a firearm owner's ID card. I'm sorry,
but obviously.
First thing that comes to my head.
Yeah. But
every single male must be wiped out, from babies to the elderly. Only then can women be free to create a new world. I'll be a pioneer. I'll be the first to take the first step. A lot of Luigi to this guy, by the way, to this girl.
Yep.
I don't care if they're fathers, brothers, husbands, sons, teachers, police, and especially N-words or politicians. Okay, so she's a racist. I've been craving to kill them all.
Wow.
This is my mission. Only when their parasitic sludge has been expunged from this earth is when the world will be clean and women can start over. It's the only way. In approximately 10 minutes, I should be dead. It's strange, but it feels good.
Wow.
Gosh. All of these terms, by the way. Now, foid, I didn't know. The other one I knew. Some of these are songs, like Radfem, Hitler. That's, isn't that a song? Isn't that in a song?
Is it?
But some of these are people streaming. So, Radfem, Hitler is, in other words, somebody who would hate men, much like Hitler, targeted Jews. That's my belief on it.
Okay.
So she, her whole agenda here is using the, the Nazi theory against men.
So I jotted down four areas of conversation under this tragedy. Feelings and facts on the accuracies and the frequency of these horrific acts. We could talk about that. We could talk about the guns, the schools, the security, the police. That can be a conversation. I think this really comes down to two things.
Yeah.
Mental health in general. Mm. How you identify, although the officer says that's not relevant, and clearly there's no conversation to be had on the identity yet. We could certainly get into the pills, prescriptions, was this person medicated? And then also follow the ideology, this leftism, this patriarchy, this hatred against males. We saw it in more of a politically sane way throughout the election and the process of how, you know, straight white cis males have become the boogeyman. You know, this past election, we talked about it. In many regards, it was men versus women. And the left has tried to demonize men. Remember, toxic masculinity. You know, it was single liberal females were the biggest challenge to Donald Trump, especially post Roe v. Wade. And we were told that, you know, Tim Walz, Doug Emhoff are redefining masculinity. I know, Greg, you have a lot of thoughts on the mental health pills aspect. I'll stick to the ideology aspect. Maybe, and I don't know where she got this from. I'm not blaming a politician or a party. It could be a family thing. I have no idea. But this whole notion that, like, men are bad, and I mean, when you continually hammer home an ideological perspective to young, easily impressionable people, sometimes not only do they believe it, they harbor hate, and they get to a point where they reach a point where they're like a volcano and they erupt. And it's one thing to have an ideology, a belief, a set of values. It's another thing to have hate in your bones, but then it's another thing to actually act upon it, right? And we saw that with Luigi Mangione, right? You can hate the healthcare system. In no way is it justified to slaughter a CEO. I mean, this girl here, 15, 17, she's a minor regardless. She had a disdain for the opposite sex, right?
Where was this posted? Do we know that? Was this like Twitter or TikTok or something?
I think it was an X link that you sent.
No. I know where I found it. I'm asking where the original thing was posted.
That I don't know.
Yeah.
That I don't know. But it seems like, I mean, and I know you always like to go on your rant about, you know, the healthcare with mental health and pills. So by all means,
no,
dude, it wouldn't surprise me, dude, if she was completely banged up on five different prescriptions.
There's no, look, first of all, we have to say alleged because we don't know.
Yeah, right.
We don't know that this person, I mean, she's dead, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, we can assume. But there's no question in my mind, and of course, I'm just going by speculation because I have no facts to back this up, but I believe that, without question, she was on some sort of medication of something. And I know, because I saw the police chief in Madison, Wisconsin, is already mm-hmm. blaming the Second Amendment. And my bigger question is if my theory does turn out to be true, how much longer until we go down this road of maybe it's the drugs? And when I say that, I don't mean, you know, like Chris Forsythe said, you know, people smoking weed in the woods. You know what I mean? Like those days are long over. The you know, the 17-year-old, you know, getting a 10 bag of weed and bringing it into the woods, you know, to smoke dirt weed are way gone. These drugs that these kids are on now are way more potent.
Yeah, these kids have leveled up.
And they have doctors prescribing them.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is that if it does turn out to be true, when are we going to go down this path?
Yeah,
and maybe there's a correlation here.
It's a great point you bring up because it's always about a gun grab, right? It's always and I think somebody just mentioned the Second Amendment with the police chief. Why is it always like, let's grab the guns? How about we grab the drugs? Because I'd be willing to bet, allegedly, if this person was medicated, that the odds of this person committing the act without drugs, probably lower,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
Now, maybe this person was completely off their rocker mentally without drugs, and maybe they would have done this heinous act without, you know, allegedly being on a medicine. But you're right, like, the days of, like, a dime bag or, you know, like, yeah, drinking an Old English 40.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, some of these kids are, you know, on Adderall and all these other pills. And then I think, Dawn, you've mentioned this in the past, where you mix these different pills and you create these ridiculous chemical reactions in the brain.
Yeah. And, you know, but the issue, I think, with firearms is that if you have a child, and you know, I believe they're now, they are saying 15. I don't know what I see back and forth on this, but I think this morning they're saying she's 15.
Yeah.
There was a lot of, you know, obviously a flurry of you can't even imagine what they're going through as investigators sort through this and try to deal with all the kids, the parents, parents who found out their child was not shot. By the way, two of the kids shot are clinging to life. And I'll point out to you that sometimes they have to make a decision of pulling a plug. And so they make a decision to donate organs when you have young people like this, when you have kids. And so sometimes that's, I mean, this is horrific, but sometimes that's what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
That they're on, they're being kept alive on life support until they can perhaps bring in another kid who needs, you know, an organ, because the parents at least say, well, let's donate organs and save somebody's life.
Yep.
My question is how much attention is this going to, first of all, it's completely odd that, and when I say odd, it's out of the ordinary that a female is a school shooter, because usually they're male. So,
although go back to Nashville 2 years ago,
it's true.
Yeah,
it's true. But the large majority of them have been males.
Yep.
Well, the Nashville one, it brings me to something that's interesting, is that the Nashville person didn't that person have some gender or identity issues, and it was a religious school.
And
it was
a
Christian school.
Remember how long it took for us to get all the details, and how all of the authorities were trying to conceal the identity. We know a lot about this person already so far. So maybe the identifying as something different is not one of the attributes of this story. But it seems like we know more already in less than 24 hours than we did with the Nashville shooter.
And I'm not blaming parents in this case, but I will say, especially if you know that you have a teenager who's suicidal or having mental health, and you, I don't know, we don't know yet what's going on here, but if the parents, you know, did not lock up their firearm, I imagine they'll face, you know, some charges, some gun charge. Not that I'm blaming them.
Mm-hmm.
But people, lock up your firearms.
Well, speaking of that, the shooter, according to the officers, they say she used a 9mm pistol. And speaking of family members, she was previously taken to shooting ranges by family members, and there are posts on social media that show it. I did see one photo last night from behind, so you see the back of her, and she's she's holding, I think it was, you know, some sort of long gun that she was using, rifle or...
I mean, and I did all that, too, as a teenage girl, and a 13, 14, you know, younger than that as a girl. So I'm not suggesting that any of that leads to this.
No.
You know, but I'm saying that in these cases, especially when you know that you have somebody who's has serious mental health issues, why would you make that available to them, that firearm?
That's true.
Well, the one interesting thing about the photo, and I think, I'm not sure who, somebody on the YouTube chat said it, the photo, Sean, can you bring up the photo of the girl again? The one interesting thing that somebody mentioned was not the way she looks, but the iPhone. And I believe that if this person was on some sort of pharmaceuticals that her doctor probably prescribed, and, you know, social media with that damn phone, you know, constantly on your person.
Yep.
It's just a recipe for disaster. And you get these, you know, because at this age, everybody has these weird thoughts. And when I say weird thoughts, I don't mean like this. But everybody's like, you know, when I say like teenage angst, you know, like your girlfriend or boyfriend breaks up with you and it's literally the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's your lived experience. Right. It's all you know. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you don't know the traumas in the world. So in your little world, your girlfriend or boyfriend breaking up with you is the end of the world. So you take that on like somebody has just died. So these are all normal emotions that teenagers go through. But you put that on top of somebody who's clearly, in my opinion, disturbed. Then you put them on the psychotropic drugs, and then you give them an iPhone.
Yep.
And it's just a recipe for disaster. Yep. That more than anything, that more than the guns, that more than anything should be looked into more than anything else. And I'm wondering how much mainstream media is going to delve down that path this morning. I'm guessing none.
No, of course not. They never want to get into social media unless it's, of course, banning TikTok.
Yep.
And, of course, they never get into the medicine because it's big business.
Yep.
It's big pharma, right? it's much easier to do a gun grab, because I guess if you compared the gun industry to the pharmaceutical industry from a dollar for dollar comparison, pharmaceuticals trounce firearms.
Yep.
Just a guess. 855-839-1210 if you want to jump in on either of the conversations that we've had so far. We'll come back. We'll get to some news from Dawn to kick off hour number two. And then Harris campaign manager comes out and says, we lost the election in part because of... We'll fill in that blank on the other side. It's Kale and Company.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.